this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Tell them I'm glad you showed up. Turn to somebody sitting behind you and tell them I'm really glad you showed up. Now tell them I'm alive. Tell them you're alive. Now let's both act like it. Praise God. We're going to get to the Word of God in just a moment. I want to encourage you this coming Friday. That would be October, not February. October 28th, this Friday night, 8 p.m. Everybody say 8 p.m. We've got a live praise and worship recording, a worship night with Catalyst Creative. Churches from all over the city. We have special guest musicians that are going to be sitting in with us. And a great time of worship, great time of prayer, great time of praise. Got churches from all over the state, actually, that are going to be joining us as well, bringing people in. We would love for you to join us at 8 p.m. next door. It's going to be an incredible, incredible kickoff to a great weekend. And then Sunday at 11, we're right back in here for the conclusion of The Walking Dead. And then Sunday evening, October 30th, that's 1 week from today, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., we've got Living Ways Fall Fest, Trunk or Treat, Costume Contest, Inflatables, food trucks, face painting, photo ops, all of the good stuff, and it's free except for the food trucks, so bring some money for the food trucks, but everything else, it is open for you, your families. We'd love to see you. You can register for the pie eating contest. They'll have some spots open for that. If you'd like to get in the running for the prize money for best trunk at Trunk or Treat, you can sign up for that, but we'd love your presence at that event more than anything because it's a way for us to love our community, give a safe place for kids to celebrate candy and all of the fall. How many of you have been enjoying this weather in San Antonio? Come on now. It's why we live here. Praise God. Let's go to the Word of God. I've had these notes done for a week, but all day yesterday, once I got to the office, God would not let me out of my notes. I kept doing other things and I'd come back to it. And so we're going to jump into it here in just a little bit. I know you're standing, but go ahead and turn to John chapter 11, verse 40. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you've got your app, open your app. If you don't have either, they're going to put it on the wall for you here in just a second. I wanted to share a couple testimonies that are going to bless you. These came in this week. Good morning, Pastor Brandon. I have an amazing testimony to share. On September 22nd, we attended Wednesday service, and I went up for the altar call for my sweet baby girl who is 15 months old. She was diagnosed with hypotonia at 6 months old, which means she has low muscle tone, and she has not met all the normal milestones of toddlers. But that night, while we sat in service, somebody say, while we sat in service, that means in this building, while we sat in service, she was able to sit on her own for the first time, and now she's showing signs of crawling. God is good. I told Mario this testimony the moment I received it. He said, that's a creative miracle. I'm here to tell you, God can do it anywhere, but why don't we just get our faith ready for the next 25 minutes and let God do something here. One more for you. I know you're standing. One more. 2022 has been my breakthrough year, Pastor, and it began in January. And I'm closing out the year with great news. My family has been restored after 7 years of dealing with addiction, anger, bitterness, resentment, sickness, and heartbreak. In January, my son got COVID, was very sick, and he had to come to stay with us, but God used that situation to transform his life and restore our family. Same family, the testimony continues. On Wednesday, I received a promotion and an increase of more than $10,000 a year with the opportunity for another increase and bonus in 90 days. This is how she ends it. I stood in faith. I never gave up. I serve every chance I get. I tithe. I study. I meditate and stand on his word. I knew my breakthrough was coming. I kept my hopes up because nothing is impossible for God. And when we don't see anything changing, he's setting it up for everything. Like you said on Sunday, there's abundance after the comma. I'm thankful for you, your family, and Living Way Church. Somebody give God praise for these testimonies. Now somebody just throw both hands in the air and say, I'm next. Oh yeah. John 11 verse 40. Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands, feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the clothes and let him go. Somebody shout, I'm alive and free. Somebody shout it twice as loud. I'm alive and I'm free. One more time. I'm alive and I'm free. You may be seated in the house of God. I realize what time it is, and we're going to get you out of here on time today. We've been talking in these previous sessions on living like the undead, not really dead, not really alive, just kind of ambling through life. Let me tell you something. As a spirit-filled believer, you can't amble anywhere. We are people that are filled with purpose. We are people that were created on purpose. We are people that with every step should be a step of purpose. Doesn't matter if you work a secular job or you're going to elementary, junior high, high school, or university. I want to encourage you, we are people of purpose. We cannot just exist. We cannot just amble through life. We are born with purpose. We've talked about we're going to talk today about the recipe for resurrection, getting into the now faith, faith in the moment, not next week, not next month, not next year, and talk about being alive and free, because a lot are alive but not free. So many believers are disciples by label but not by lifestyle, alive but not liberated, Christian by name but not truly converted. Transformed talk, but conformed walk. Too many believers are existing like spiritual zombies. You're there, but you're not really there. Have you ever met somebody that was present, but they weren't really present? God needs you to be present wherever he has placed you. This is not in my notes. We'll just chalk this one up to the Holy Ghost. God needs you, God needs me to be present wherever he has placed us. Why? Because when you're present, you have carried his presence into whatever situation you now occupy. That means Jesus shows up at your job when you show up. If you leave Jesus at your house, at the altar, or in your car, you're doing it wrong. If somebody ever invites you somewhere but says your spouse can't come, I encourage you, don't go. Because everywhere that I am, my spouse, we are a package deal. You cannot separate us. And so if I feel that strongly about the woman I married, I should feel even stronger about the God that died for me that I serve, that wherever I go, I'm carrying Jesus with me. Well, it makes me uncomfortable. Yeah, Jesus has that effect on demon spirits. Jesus has that effect on people that are not full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus has that effect. I love when Jesus shows up to funerals, because when Jesus shows up to a funeral, it's not to eulogize the dead. It's to bring them back to life, praise God. Three times Jesus shows up at a funeral or in the presence of a dead person. One, of course, is Lazarus. This story, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus shows up not to grieve with those that are grieving. He shows up to call Lazarus back to life out of the grave. Another time, Jesus is walking, and there's a widow of Nain, and she has her son in the casket. And the Bible says that Jesus, just walking by, touched the casket, and the boy came back to life. There's another, Jairus was getting ready for Jesus to come to heal his daughter. And they said, don't bother the master anymore, for she is already dead. Jesus shows up in the bedroom of a dead little girl. Her corpse had already turned cold. Rigor mortis was already setting in. And when Jesus showed up, life showed up too. So that means I am alive, I carry life, and wherever I show up, you show up, Jesus shows up with us. That's why the apostles could just walk down the street and their shadow was healing people, not because of them, but because of what they carried with them. The reason that so many believers are alive but not free, they're living like God put a period where he put a comma. As we ended last session, there is life after the comma. God is getting ready to breathe again. Somebody say there's more. Let's talk about the recipe for resurrection. I love the story of Lazarus. I love this true account in the Word of God. This is not hyperbole. It is not a parable. This is something that Jesus actually did and took part in. We really get to see the anatomy of a miracle, the recipe for resurrection. We see that Lazarus goes from a healthy friend to a sick friend to a dying friend to a dead friend to a buried friend to a four-day dead, stinky, smelly friend to a living friend to a free friend. That's the cycle for a lot of us, church. We're good one day, and then we're sick the next. And then now it's not just a common abnormality. It's not the cold. It's something that is designed now to kill us. And like Lazarus, maybe it's not a physical death, but maybe it is a spiritual thing that we're going through. And I know, as you know, if you're close to somebody, you can tell when something's off. So here's the thing. Don't wait until you're at death's door to call on Jesus. Mary and Martha, you're friends with Jesus. You should have called him the moment that Lazarus' fever spiked. I am here to tell you, we would not, and I've said this before and I'll say it until I die, we would not need as many miracles if we learn how to manage the daily bread that God gave us. There are so many of us. And what's good about God is God will still give us the miracle when we need it. But there's a better way than for God to always have to rescue us and us use him as the last resort. Before you ever go to the doctor, you should pray. And then go to the doctor. Before you should ever go to the credit counselor, you should go to Jesus. And then go to the credit counselor. Before you ever go to the psychiatrist or psychologist, for your mental health, you should first go to Jesus, and then you can do those other things. But Jesus was never meant to be the last resort. He was always meant to be the first option, praise God. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister, Martha. So you've got three brothers and sisters, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. The verse 2 is John's way of describing how this family was connected to Jesus. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. You know that alabaster box and all of that? That is this household. That is this family. We don't have a last name, but we know that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are all siblings. I need to bring it to worship just for a moment because I can't hardly preach more than 10 minutes without talking about our devotion and worship to God. Jesus said, when the alabaster box is broken, forever I will remember, and you will be remembered forever because of the worship that you have brought to me today. When you broke the alabaster box, what you did here today was burned in my memory. That's why when this team is leading us in worship, your mind can't be at the steakhouse that you've got reservations for at 2 o'clock. It can't be in the courtroom that you've got an appointment with on Thursday. It can't be on the prodigal that is somewhere else. When we worship, our devotion, our attention, our focus is all on Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gave us life and he will continue to help us live. But I make this point. He remembers the household because of the worship that came out of the household. When was the last time that God marked and memorialized your worship? When was the last time that you gave God such strong worship and such an extreme act of worship that he said, that's one I'll never forget. I'll make sure that everybody knows that this worship changed some things. And little did Mary know when she came to break the alabaster box that she was literally setting her and her brother up for a miracle. Little did she know that while she worshiped, Jesus said, all right, this is a house of resurrection. You don't know it today, Mary, but in a few months, your brother's going to die. But because of your worship, we've created an atmosphere. You've created a relationship so that I can step into and bring your dead brother back to life. Somebody say worship matters. Your worship today will resurrect something next year. Your worship tomorrow will resurrect something in November. I am here to tell you, when we worship God, that spirit, the memory of what happens there, but God releases something in that moment. This was the same woman, verse 2, who poured perfume on the Lord, wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, and they said, "The one you love is sick." Isn't that just like somebody who wants God to do something? They butter him up. The one you love. Meaning, if you really loved him, you'd show up at the house. But I want to backtrack to the first part of verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus. The sisters had a relationship with Jesus. Lazarus had a relationship with Jesus. If you're taking notes, write these three words down. Relationship precedes resurrection. If you want Jesus' resurrection, I'm alive and free. I'm not the walking dead. I am not a zombie. If you're going to be alive and free, the relationship with Jesus has to be a strong one. No one likes to be contacted only when somebody wants something. That is not a relationship. That is merely transactional. And I don't want transactional friends that only time I hear from them is when they're wanting something or trying to get something out of me. And so this is not that relationship, because there is worship that has happened here. There has been a created atmosphere by worshiping God. And so relationship precedes resurrection. John 11:3, the sister sent word. I have a question for you today. Who do you have in your life that's praying for you? Because physically, what Mary and Martha do by sending word to Jesus is what we do in prayer. Hey, God, I need you to work in that situation. Hey, God, I need you to work in my friend. Hey, God, I need you to heal my son. Hey, God, I need you to restore and work in my marriage. Hey, God, I need you to work in this situation. We are sending word to God. But I want to encourage you, Lazarus is no longer in a place where he can pray for himself. But thanks be to God, he has surrounded himself with people that know where Jesus is, know how to get a hold of him, and will send word, "Jesus, we need you," that can speak for you when you can't speak for yourself. When you hang out with dead people, you become dead. When you hang out with living people, you become alive. You can't help but worship next to Tammy Green and start worshiping. You can't help but to pray with Reba and Michael Johnson and know that they know how to pray and how to reach the throne room of God. You can't serve next to Mario and bring it halfway. You bring it all. Why? Because living people, it is contagious, the people that you spend time with. John 11, verse 3, "Lord, the one you love is sick." This is the thing that people like to use as a crutch, church. Well, God loves everybody. That's a true statement. God does love everyone. But the fact is, if God loves everyone, that doesn't make me special. We got quiet. You know what makes me special? You know what makes you special? You love him back. If God loves everybody, and that is special, and it is powerful, and it's only a God like our God that can love unconditionally. But you know what sets us apart from the living dead? You know what sets us apart from the walking dead and the zombies? Is here we sit with all of the earth going to hell in a handbasket, and we stood 30 minutes ago and said, "God, it is your reckless love that saved me." Well, guess what, God? I love you too. My love is unstoppable. It's unquenchable. It's unchangeable. I love you too. So the question is, God will heal me because he loves me. Oh, he loves everyone. But it is the reciprocated love. It is love reciprocated that resurrects. When you say to Jesus, "I love you too," resurrection. Sorry, Mario Sr., I didn't mean to do that. Actually, I meant to do it, but forgive me. When you say, "I love you too," resurrection shows up. You might not see it, you might not feel it, but it's there. I'm about to encourage you with a word that Jesus, and what Jesus says in these next few verses, it seems counterproductive. It seems contradictory to what we feel about Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, once you give your need to Jesus, he has heard it, he is working on it, and I promise you, if you can live in the process and operate in some patience, I don't care how he does it, your brother is going to live again. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death.
Thank you, Jesus. That's all I need to hear.
That's it. I don't have to say anything else to God. If I say, God, my brother's sick, and he says, don't worry, he's not going to die. Mic drop. I can go back to work. I can go back to school. I can go back to doing what I was doing. Why? Because if God said it, that settles it. I believe it. If God settles it, says it, that should settle it, and that you should believe that word. And I don't have any doubt that when God says it here, we believe it. We believe it here. We believe it there. We believe it there. We believe it there. We believe it in the parking lot, and then we get on the phone with somebody. Then we go to lunch with the wrong person after church. Everybody at church is not your friend. Everybody at church you shouldn't go to lunch with. You shouldn't break bread with. You shouldn't. Why? Because they need more Jesus than some of the people outside of the church. And you've got to regulate who you allow in and out of your life. And so when God says it, Jesus said, hey, don't worry about it. He said, this sickness is not unto death. That's all we needed. I'm good now, God. But then he goes on to say, no, it is for God's glory so that that God's Son may be glorified through it. He said, this sickness is not unto death. What the devil meant for evil, he goes, let me tell you the plan. Lazarus is going to live, number one. Number two, God is going to get glory. Number three, people are going to look at Jesus different after he raises Lazarus from the dead. Can I just tell you that this hit me like a ton of bricks when I was studying this, that sometimes my healing is not about me, even though the sickness is in me. Sometimes my deliverance is not about me, even though I'm the one addicted. Sometimes God blessing me is not about me, even though I'm the one that is living below where God wants me. Why? Because God said, the devil did that, but I'm going to heal you, bless you, free you. But in the moment, God's going to get the glory, and Jesus is going to become more famous. Which leads me to this point. God, I want you to do it right here, right now. But if he does it on a Sunday, listen to what I'm saying. If he does it on a Sunday, at 11:55 a.m. and it's just mainly believers in the room and watching online, what are we going to do? We're going to praise God. We're going to shout about it. We're going to high five and all of those things. But what if God waits till I'm in a crowded airport? What if God waits till I'm in the ICU? God said, better yet, Martha, let me wait till he's in the tomb. He said, Martha, Mary, I know I'm taking longer than you want me to, but can I just encourage you with this? It's not about you. It's not even about Lazarus. It's about God getting glory. And it's about Jesus becoming Jesus on this earth so that people do not see him. Let me tell you something. You bring somebody back to life after 4 days in the grave, it is no longer Mary's son, Joseph's son, and James' brother. Now they're starting to say, you know what? There's something to this Jesus. At first, we thought he was all talk being the Son of God, but did you hear him talking to God? Then he turned around to a man that had been dead 4 days, and he came out the grave, and then he said, loose that man, make sure he's alive, but make sure he's free. I am here to tell somebody today, the picture is bigger than you and your family. The picture is bigger than you and your need. The picture is bigger than any one thing that we need. God said, I want the glory. I want Jesus to be established. Man, that was a quick 23 minutes. Let's go a little further. When Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This is God talking to Isaiah. He said, my word that goes forth out of thy mouth, it shall not return unto me void. God is not like man, the Bible says. He cannot lie. So once it is spoken, it has to happen. Because the moment that a word spoken by God, now listen to what I'm going to say, not some parking lot prophet that says he's speaking for God. Not a Christian televangelist that says he's speaking for God. I'm talking about 66 books of written word. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit speaking word into your life, or some confidant, somebody close to you that you trust hears from God and is confirming something that God has said. The word of God says it cannot return unto him void. It will accomplish everything that he said it would do. It will accomplish that which I please, meaning it's what God wants, not what we want. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We could shout the rest of the day about verse 11, Isaiah 55. God says, if I say it, that word is going out, it's working, it will work, it will accomplish, and the thing that it embeds itself into, it is going to bring prosperity to that thing more than anything you need, more than you can think or imagine, according to the power of Christ that works within us. Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it. Three things God's word does. Number one, it says it returns not void, it returns full. That means we got to act like it. When he says it, it's as good as done. Act like it. When God makes me a promise, I'm already acting like the promise has been performed. Why? Because his word cannot return to him void. That means it takes account. That means there are receipts on what it did. When that word gets back to heaven, it's like a boomerang. God sends it out, and it does multiple things that God sends it to do on earth. It causes the thing that it gets put into to prosper, and then it goes back to God, and God takes an account of every word that he said. He said, all right, what did you do on earth that I sent you to? Well, I healed this person of cancer. I put this marriage back together. I saved 51 over here. 3 got filled with the Holy Ghost over here. You know, there was 4 prodigals that came home just because of that one word. That's what I love about the word of God. I'm speaking to hundreds of people in here today and many more online. And you could be receiving something over here that is completely different than over here. And right here is different than back there. Why? Because that boomerang is hitting each one of us with what we need from God. I am here to tell you there's word that goes back to God, that God says, what did you do? And that word says, just like the testimonies I read. Well, on a Wednesday night, I just kind of swung through Living Way while they were worshiping. And while Brandon was preaching, there was a 15-month-old little girl that was having some issues with her muscle tone and her motor skills and development. And I just went ahead and sat her up so her mother and father could know that I'm still working and the word still works. And we're not just alive, but we're alive and we're free. And then I went over a couple rows to another lady and I just said, you've been going through some things over the last 2 years. Here's an extra $10,000 a year. Oh, by the way, your prodigal's coming home. Your marriage is restored. Here's some peace. Here's some joy. I did everything. Woo! I did everything. Stand on your feet. I did everything that you sent me to do. It does not return empty. It returns full. Said it accomplishes that which I please. It accomplishes much. That's why we act like it. See, during praise and worship, when I'm pumping my fist, I'm thinking about what God has done. I'm thinking about what God is doing. But Brother Oscar, I kind of lose my mind a little bit when I think about the promises that have not yet manifested in my life. And I'm thinking, God, it's not going to return void. It prospers. It prospers. We turn prosperity into money, but there's so many more important things. It prospers, meaning you have way more of everything that you need. That boomerang has been going around all day today. and it's taking receipts. God, I did this. That promise that they've been standing on, we went ahead and worked that out for them. Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. Will not end in death. Will not end in death. That means at the end, there won't be death. At the end, you're in the middle. I'm in the middle. And so why do I square my shoulders? Why do I praise like it's already happened? Because it has already happened. Why do I keep going to church when it doesn't seem like it's working? Why do I keep tithing when it doesn't seem like it's working? Why do I keep worshiping a God and it seems like sometimes he's silent or that I can't hear him? I'm doing that because he has promised me the end will not end in death. And if I don't like what I'm seeing, it's not the end. Natasha is one of my friends from way back, 30 plus years. God promised you the end would not end in death. It's going to be great. The greatest season of your life is still in front of you.